heavier than a kick you, then you realize you're not unique. And you ignore it's important just to get on through the week. I don't want to think about the nuanced voices. I don't want to think about no parent choices. I don't need the subtlety, there's all I want is inner peace.
My new hero, Nellie McCoy.
Did I do anything when
you heard of a new hero yesterday?
Yeah. Well,
so you.
She was my new hero yesterday, too.
I thought it was somebody else yesterday.
This is a woman whose CD I was playing yesterday, anyway, and she's great. Oh. Except that I just do want to complain about one thing, which is there's almost nothing that converts a convenient medium to an inconvenient medium as quickly as a double CD. I mean, particularly if it's a double CD in sort of the standard plastic jewel box where you've got to kind of pry open the inner part of it to get the second part. Ugh. I mean, everything now, that you ever loved about CDs goes out the window there.
You know what, though?
What?
I remember several years ago, you got all over the producer of the program at that time, Tim Helmecki.
Yeah.
About when he was complaining about CD cases and stuff.
He was complaining about how I handled my CD cases. And actually, I was thinking about Helmecki today when I was thinking about how annoyed I was getting at this thing, because it's the kind of thing where he would come over and he would sort of show me how to get the thing out of... You know what I'm talking about? When there's a double CD, though, and it's on one side of the plastic thing and it's on the other side of the plastic thing, and you got to pry the little inner part of it open and get in there and stuff, you know, and you've really gone from... I mean, obviously... CDs are convenient. I understand that they're convenient. And I'm glad that they exist, and I'm glad that they're so convenient. But, you know, this kid's 19 years old. She could just get all of the good songs in a one CD, all right? We don't need two CDs.
Is this the worst thing that you had to worry about today? Was
Pretty much.
Well, I'd say you're having a pretty good day, then.
Yeah. Actually, I had much worse things happen to me today, but I can't talk about them on the radio.
Why not?
I just can't.
How come?
Take my word for it. I can't do it. But, you know, at least I'm not in Fallujah. We're going to talk to Lisa Barron from CBS, who actually is probably either in or near. I guess yesterday, anyway, reporters didn't even want to...
So, is the idea of these pictures that we're having done to look as slobby as possible?
Yeah, we need to look like we're guys in need of a makeover.
Well, yeah, but the you know, I mean, there's a limit as to how slobby one can look.
Well, I haven't found that to be the case. I mean, I found that there's almost no limit to how sloppy.
Why don't we throw Sherwood's picture in there, too, make us look a little better?
That's right. Anyway, our numbers are 522-WTIC. It is true. Barbara 3A is here taking our pictures for the Clark makeover thing, which is May 6th at the Pond House. Be there or be square. We're going to be made over along with Jim Shea and Eddie Perez.
And, I'm still not clear on what made over means.
It's clothes and grooming, but the grooming thing is kind of broad, right? We don't really know what. Might they style our hair but not cut our hair? Is that the kind of thing? Yeah. Or they might put a little product in. I think you might need some product, yeah.
Product?
Yeah, you might need some product. Do you wear any product? Do you use any product at the moment?
No, I don't use any product at the moment.
Well, see, maybe Mrs. Stevens would like you to use a little bit of product, yeah. It'll be fine. It'll be good. You'll just be a little bit more metrosexual when it's all over.
Okay.
And you know what? Once you start getting into this stuff, I find it's a little kind of addictive. You know, you really do kind of enjoy it.
All right. Here's Bill in Hartford. Bill.
Oh, Bruce, so if you do this makeover, we're finally going to get to see a picture of you somewhere?
Well, yeah.
Newspaper or something?
Yes, but let me tell you something. Wait, at the rate he's going right now, wait about a month and a half, and you'll probably see his picture on the cover of, like, Men's Health or something like that.
Oh, he's a good guy.
He's getting very cute. Very cute.
Oh, Buff, well, they'll love that. Mm. You guys know some recent...
Okay. Just a minute or two, we expect to be talking to Mariel Hemingway about her book, Finding My Balance. As I mentioned yesterday, Mariel Hemingway and I are both beautiful women whose lives have been changed by yoga. And she'll talk a little bit about that, about the fact she's visiting Hartford, or specifically West Hartford, this weekend. And won't that be fun? Well, it'll be fun if you get to go to the workshop, I guess. Anyway,
well, are you going?
I think I'm not going.
Why not?
I don't like yoga workshops. I shouldn't say that.
What would you get out of a yoga workshop?
Well, I mean, you just sort of, instead of just going to a class or something like that, and we can ask her exactly what she's going to be doing, but like a lot of these workshops like go on all weekend and stuff like that. I mean, it looks like hers go on in like 2 hours. She's doing two different sessions, each 2 hours long. I don't know. It's like it's all I can do to get through an hour and 15-minute yoga class without bursting into tears.
So an hour and 15 minutes, that's a long time.
Well, actually, hot yoga is an hour and a half.
But an hour and a half?
Yes. Actually, Bobby is now talking about going to yoga with me.
God.
He was just talking about that. Although,
frightening. It's just plain frightening.
Bobby, our producer, basically, during the basketball season, he has had no life. He has had no life whatsoever. He might as well have been a veal calf for all the fun he's been able to have during the basketball season. So he begins every sentence now with, when the season ends, you know, when the season ends, I'll take a shower. You know, when the season ends. So the problem is he may have mortgaged his time too much. In other words, he may have promised to do too many different things when the season ends. There may not be really as much time as he thinks there is. But anyway, he claims he's going to go to yoga with me.
Well, that would be good.
Yeah. But it's also, you know.
I guess.
Well, one thing about the yoga, I'm telling you, most times when I do hot room yoga, I'm the only man in the classroom. And, you know, there's like lots of very, and the women who are in the classroom are taking care of themselves. That's what they're doing in yoga. So they look great, you know, mm-hmm. And most of them are, you know.
So it's just like fringe benefit for you then.
Most of them are, I'm just saying in terms of, you know, Bobby's a single guy and stuff. And, you know, I mean, rather than go to a bar or something and meet a lot of women who are drunken slobs, why not go to yoga and meet some women who are taking care of themselves?
That would appear to make sense.
Yeah. Joining us now is a woman who's taking care of herself. Her name is Marielle Hemingway, and you know her as an actress, but she's also a yogi, and she's written a book called Finding My Balance. She's going to be at West Harvard Yoga, which is where I do my yoga, this weekend. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm just fine. How are you?
That was funny. We were just hanging out with a bunch of drunken.
Well, I just...
Go hang out with women that do yoga.
Yeah.
I like that.
The guy who you were just talking to on the phone, the guy who's our producer, he's a young guy. He's in his 20s. He's single. And I was just suggesting to him that rather than go hang around in a bar, you know, and meet women there.
I'm all for that.
I mean, the kind of woman you're going to meet at yoga, you're going to meet the Marielle Hemingway kind of woman. So, you know.
Well, I think that times have changed, and there's a definite move towards people taking care of themselves, and it's a sexier, more interesting way to be in your life, I guess.
Well, you know, one thing that you do in your book is the name of each chapter is a yoga position, is a yoga pose, and then you sort of relate that to some other aspect of your life. And I think the suggestion there is that yoga has sort of permeated the rest of your life or become a way of thinking about the rest of your life.
Absolutely. What yoga enabled me to do was it taught me how it taught me about self-study. So initially, I learn everything through my body anyway, so I look into my body as a way, and the movement of yoga as a way to understand first how I feel physically, and then I lead it into how I feel emotionally, and I can ask myself questions on how I'm doing as a person, and I found that it led me to be my own therapist, and it was a lot cheaper.
Well, I mean, I have to say that I haven't devoted anything close to the time that you have to this, but I do yoga at the place you're going to be at this Saturday, and there is some truth to that people, they talk about their heart centers and all this kind of stuff, and you do feel different personally as a result of doing this, and I have a hard time explaining how that is. Can you talk a little bit about what kind of workshop you're going to be doing?
Well, I very similar to what I was just saying, I have four principles called the imbalance principles of my life that have helped me utilize my yoga practice, utilize different things in my life. And these four principles that I live by are nutrition, environment, asana, which is the yoga asana, but it can be any movement that quiets the mind, and meditation. And those four principles together have enabled me to be this person who does what's called svadhyaya, which is a niyama, which means self-study. Mm-hmm. So it enables me to study myself and understand who I am through self-inquiry, through breath, through slowing myself down, because we live in a really fast, you know, fast environment. So what I help people do, because I'm not an asana teacher, I'm not like, you know, an Iyengar teacher is going to be all about your form and your placement and structure. How do we use the yoga in our daily life? How do we take it off the mat and use it to be present in everything that we do. So that's kind of what I share with people, is how do we take these four principles into our life, but how do we first use it in the mat? How do we link the breath to the movement and really slow it down and really pay attention to how you feel, whether it's good or bad? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it can be bad. It can be like, well, what am I doing here? Oh, my God, she's not what I thought she would be. You know, I mean, it could be we have a myriad of thoughts. But it's how can we slow ourselves down in order to look at ourselves closely, in order to heal where we come from. Because where we come from, our past, our training, is really what messes us up. It's what gets us caught up in our emotions. It's what gets us caught up in our mind. And it's our mind that prevents us from going forward in our life. The training that we have, and usually it's, you know, not intentional, but it's usually the training that our parents gave us of whatever it is that we have glommed on to and we hold on to. And until we can unlock that, first from our bodies and then emotionally, we're not free. Does that make any sense?
It made a tremendous amount of sense. I was going to ask you a follow-up question, but I asked you one question and you talked for 17 minutes. But no, that was fine, actually. The book is terrific, by the way. And I just want to say once again that the place she's going to be at is called West Hartford Yoga, and they have actually a website called www.westhartfordyoga.com where you can find out more about this. Listen, I know you have six dogs, right?
I do have six dogs.
Yeah, I think, and I want to get together with you on this, yoga for dogs. It hasn't been tapped into.
Well, there is yoga for dogs. You've seen
that. There's already yoga for dogs. There is already yoga.
I have not actually experienced it myself.
Yeah.
I think it's fine in theory, but I think yoga for dogs is just being a dog.
Yeah.
That is yoga. I mean, let's just talk about that, the amount of silence, the amount of peace and no stress. They just go about their life. They do their movement. They link with their breath. They love their food.
Yeah. Do they do like a down?
You need to take your dog to a class.
Do they do something called a down person or anything like that?
I'm sure they'd like to.
Yeah, I'm so disappointed to find out this already exists. I thought I had a moneymaker for the two of us. But.
No, I know. Well, I actually thought about it, too, before it happened, so now I discount it as frivolous only because I didn't think of myself.
Yeah. I thought with your expertise and my looks, we would be able to do something, but it's just not going to work out. Listen, it's going to be an exciting weekend in West Hartford to have Mariel Hemingway around. Thank you very much for joining us today. The book's called Finding My Balance. She'll be at West Hartford Yoga. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Great, I can see you're going to need my help with this. First, we're talking about dogs being into yoga. Now we're talking about cats selling hardware.
Yes, that's exactly right. Well, a better-looking lawn begins this weekend with Stott's four-step program. Where do you get that? Cat's Ace Hardware in Glastonbury, where they sell more Stott's Lawn Pro four-step than anybody else in New England. Why do you suppose that is?
Because they're the best. They know what they're doing, and they got Hardware Boy working there.
Well, they got Dick the Lawn Doctor, too.
Yeah.
Dick the Lawn Doctor.
Right.
Do we have Dick the Lawn Doctor last time we did this?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, well, anyway, we got him this time. He'll help you detect and correct what's troubling with your lawn. You ever thought of your lawn as troubling?
Yeah. I think of my lawn as troubled, anyway.
If you have lawn problems like weeds, crabgrass, lawn fungus, moles, or grubs, they have your solutions there at Cats by Ace Hardware.
Think of your lawn in therapy.
Cats Hardware also has a great selection of rental equipment to make your lawn maintenance easier and more fun. You think of the... I want some heavy equipment. That's what I want.
Go over to Cats. They're right there on Main Street in Glastonbury.
They got bobcats, backhoes, skid steers, lawn aerators, thatchers, and cedars. And they've been doing business for over 85 years, so you'd think they probably know a little bit about what they're doing, right?
They have a drop forge you can rent, too.
You know what they do have? I just noticed it here. In the list of things you can rent, a toilet auger.
Ooh.
That'd be fun, huh?
Yeah, I've been to some parties.
Never mind. Stop by this weekend, pick up your Scott's four-step program at Cat's Ace Hardware. They're on Main Street in Glastonbury.
I still think there's money to be made. Maybe out on the West Coast they have yoga for dogs, but I bet you out here they don't.
I don't know.
And people will do anything with their dogs.
Excuse me?
Including Val. Val from East Harper will do anything with her dogs, including get them in yoga books. Hello, Val.
Hi.
Hi.
It's time to put in my shameless plug. There's a new book.
Invalid haircut.
They actually do have, I think they do have, if you use a little imagination, there is a back exit.
Oh, there's one?
I think so.
I've never been shown there.
I think you have to go down to the basement of the
elevator. Oh, yes, we go down there where there's
walk through the back somehow.
Yeah, they're like strange people down there in the basement, though. They don't even work for our radio stations. They're worse people than who are working for our radio stations down in their basement.
Well,
I don't know what
that.
They do.
Well, there are other companies in the building.
Yeah, I know. Who knows what they do? Who knows what they
are? But there are a few.
One year, I went to one of the Christmas parties.
Yeah, you weren't invited, but...
Yeah.
Well, I guess you were invited.
I can't remember whether I was invited or not.
Not that that really
a good party, though.
Really mattered much.
It was an excellent party. I had a good time at it, whether I was invited or not. But I haven't been...
I remember that.
Yeah,
didn't you take some other people with you when you went?
They don't work here anymore, those people who had the Christmas party. There's terrible people down in our basement. But that's a good point. I could get out that way, couldn't I?
I think you could, yeah.
There's like two different
ways. It goes right under the lake, though.
Yeah, there's...
There's another one on the other side.
Yeah.
There's two different ways out. Yeah.
So I won't be walking out the front door tonight. But anyway, before we get to all that, I want to say that... you know that commercial I do for Pastis?
Yes.
Well, Dana Whalen, this big acting expert, Dana Whalen, says that I sound like a combination of an actual French person and the Bronson Pinchot character, Balky, from Perfect Strangers or whatever the thing was called.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't... I thought you sounded like a French person.
Yeah, I feel slighted by that.
Why?
That I sound like... Because, I mean, that was sort of like all-purpose foreign accent kind of thing was what Bronson Pinchot was doing. Whereas I really feel that... Yeah, I think you make France kind of come alive.
I think you're masterful. I do. I think you it jumps right out of the radio.
I sound like freaking Gerard Depardieu, all right? So stop off.
I'd say... Yeah.
Okay.
I was pretty mesmerized and amazed when I heard it the first time.
So we'll take your phone calls. And I got some other stuff I'd like to get to at some point, but there are a lot of people calling up about
why
it.
Ruin the fun?
Yeah.
All right. Is there a particular one you'd like to start with here?
No.
Let's go to Tony in New Britain.
Well, poor Paul Horning is still in trouble with everyone else except for Jim Herrick Jr., who has nominated him as Dean of Academic Affairs at Georgia. But in top of our sports, not quite a very French sports discussion segment. Avec Mr. Levine, Michel Bruce Stevens, and myself, Louis Gascon de la Mer.
See, I'm wrong in my prediction, as usual. I thought you'd have a Calvin Murphy line.
I was having a hard time coming up with any kind of joke today, to tell you the truth. Of course, all the eyes are on New Orleans and San Antonio as we go into this weekend here. I just got some news here about San Antonio, though. San Antonio, of course, is where the men's Final Four is. The women's Final Four is in New Orleans. We have some of our best and brightest in both locations. And we'll be talking to Arnold from New Orleans today.
That's the best? Or the brightest?
On Monday, if we'd like, we can talk to Rebecca Lobo live from New Orleans, too.
Oh, that'd be good.
Set that up. She's down there, too.
See, that would be best and brightest.
And then we've got Mr. Ambrosio, of course, in San Antonio, although he's going to be skipping back and forth broadcasting both sets.
He's not going to have a lot of extra time to
be
doing much of anything.
He's probably going to get somewhat cranky after a while.
More so than usual?
Hard as it is to believe, it might actually happen. Well, anyway, San Antonio, meanwhile, as of this very day in which I am sitting, here's some upsetting news about San Antonio. The metropolitan area around that historic Texas city has the highest rate of binge drinking. I'd like to say that the last time I was in San Antonio, I participated in that rate.
It can go nowhere but up.
Yeah. Binge drinking, they got these, there's one place we found, they had these purple margaritas. I forget what they were made out of.
Does it matter?
I was with John Garagosian and Audrey Garagosian. Oh, man, that was bad. And we went back there a couple of times, too. There's also one of the best, I call it a piano bar, but it's not really. I think it's called Howl at the Moon, and it's one of the most demented nightclubs I've ever been to in my life. And it's these two pianos that face each other, and they have this rotating set of piano players who can play anything. Well, they mostly play like a lot of rock and roll stuff, and you bribe them to play stuff, and then everybody sings along. And it just doesn't sound like it's any fun, but it actually really is. And there's like 800 people there. Well, anyway. Binge drinking, by the way, the definition of binge drinking, you'll be intrigued to hear, is imbibing till you're drunk. Which is actually...
I'm glad you cleared that up.
Yeah, that's the name of the new Garth Brooks CD, too. Imbibe till you're drunk. Anyway, San Antonio has the highest rate in the United States. Other hot spots for booze consumption include the Midwest, particularly the Dakotas and Iowa and Nevada. And the teetotalers roost in the Mormon-dominated Utah, of course, as well as Chattanooga, Tennessee. Which I believe is where our own Cheryl Rice is from. I believe she's a Chattanooga gal. I don't know. I don't know what else to say about this thing.
Do booze happy cities deserve a bad rap? This article continues. That's not the point of the research, says one of the epidemiologists who worked on it. Not to say they're bad people. It just points out that that kind of level of drinking is associated with bad things like injuries, interpersonal violence, and unprotected or unplanned sexual encounters. That pretty much describes my experience with alcohol, anyway, and probably yours as well. Anyway, that's a warning for those of you heading down to San Antonio. Of course, there are a lot of people from Connecticut who are going to be making their way down there as the Huskies get ready. But it's also, if you don't mind, you know, if you don't really have any problem, like, with injuries, interpersonal violence, and unprotected or unplanned sexual encounters.
That's a great way to go.
Or well-planned but badly executed sexual encounters, another thing that you can probably have with alcohol. Then San Antonio is the place to be. So, speaking of the place to be, it was the AquaTurf. Oh, man, some of these, I think Cypress Hill is actually out in a hallway. Is that Cypress Hill? You know.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
I'll tell you one thing.
I'm all over it.
There's, like, kind of semi-washed up a hip-hop group day here. And so we've got Cypress Hill. We had Mobb Deep. And I've never seen Bobby, our producer Bobby, I've never seen him get stuff. I mean, he got really excited about this.
Yeah.
I mean, he was like breathless and gasping and saying that Mobb Deep was incredibly important to him. Cypress Hill was okay. Mobb Deep was unbelievably important. The most important thing to him was Wu-Tang Clan. But then after that, it would be Mobb Deep. So the idea that they were here was almost, he was nearly incontinent.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally looked at him and I said, you are living in the 90s.
Did you hear about this Calhoun thing with the Basketball Hall of Fame?
What's going on?
It looks like he's going to make the cut.
He's not going to be the
According to the Hartford Current website,
yeah.
Apparently.
Well, is it just sort of a year-to-year thing? Will he be up again?
Oh, yeah, I imagine he'll be nominated again, sure. But I guess this time around, he will not make it.
He wins the championship, and he'll make it next time, right?
Well, he'll probably make it eventually anyway.
Yeah.
God knows. I mean, the guy's incredible. I mean, how many...
I don't know how many college coaches are in the Basketball Hall of Fame, so it's hard for me to evaluate.
John Wooden is.
John Wooden is coming. John Wooden and Coach K are, the two great basketball coaches, men's college basketball.
Well, if Calhoun wins this weekend, which we think he will.
Yeah.
We hope he will.
Yeah. It would put him in a distinguished company, but I mean, you know, I think Jim Calhoun's a great coach, but I mean, you know, you'd also have to sort of think about... Well, even in his own weird way, I mean, Bobby Knight, I mean, he's a total jerk, but, I mean, he's done some impressive things in the basketball.
I don't know if they have the jerk wing up there in Springfield. Maybe they do. It's a new building, so maybe they put that in. The jerk wing.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine Calhoun would get it. I don't know, as I say, if there's just a few college coaches there, then it might take him a little while. He's a great coach, but, I mean, there's a lot of great coaches out there.
I wonder how the Bob Huggins nomination did.
Well, I wouldn't know. Wouldn't be prepared to evaluate that. So I met this Leslie Stahl thing over at the, I'm not there now, but I was there, over at the AquaTurf. And as a matter of fact, I had the pleasure and delight of sitting at my table sandwiched, and I use advisedly because it was rather tight seating, between Susan Bicewicz, the Secretary of State of Connecticut, and Pat Saramet, the authoress of Java. And the authors of Java is also the name of a Daniel Steele novel that's coming out this year. But, I wanted to say one thing about this YWCA luncheon, and I go to it every year. I'm one of the few men who does go, and it's because I'm a woman. I go because I'm afraid of Doobie as well. I didn't go. Something bad might happen to me. But there's roughly 2,000 people who go. I mean, this is a big crowd, and the speakers always walk up on the phone and go, and there's a sort of a visible wow moment. And there's 2,000 people sitting out there having lunch, and most of them are women. Probably 1,800 of them are women. And one suggestion that I have to the AquaTurf is, because of the Atkins diet, it's probably not necessary to get a fresh set of rolls every year. What they could actually do is take all the rolls that they serve this year and lacquer them up and bring them back out next year.
Decorations?
Yeah.
Like ornaments?
Yeah, or just serve them. I mean, nobody eats them because, I have a new cultural theory that I thought of driving back from the AquaTurf today, and I'm sure I'm the first person to say it.
Oh, undoubtedly.
And it's, you know, I don't know too much about this, but in the world of immunology, there's a theory called herd immunity. And I don't really quite understand what it means, except that if enough people have gotten vaccinations, it doesn't matter that a few other people haven't gotten vaccinations. And I may be explaining this wrong, and if I am, someone will call us. But anyway,
someone will call and hate you.
Yeah, there's a term called herd immunity, and that's basically, I think, what it means. That if enough people, if a certain critical mass of people are vaccinated, then basically the population's okay.
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Does that mean that the people that didn't get vaccinated would be okay? They wouldn't have to worry about it?
I think so, but I don't know why. The more that I talk about this, the more I realize, even more than usual, I don't know what I'm talking about. But there is a term like that, anyway.
Well, I think I got to give you some points, you know, for at least jumping right into the field of immunology.
Yeah. I'll try to look up what this means here while I'm talking. But so anyway, my theory about it is there's sort of a herd immunity version of the Atkins diet, which is to say, I mean, it's really true when you get 2,000 people in a room and most of them are women. I mean, some of the people there were not women. For example, I was, for the most part, not a woman. Richard Blumenthal was not a woman and is not a woman. You know what Blumenthal does? He goes there and he never sits down. He sits down for as a matter of show. He just works the tables and he just goes from table to table to table to table, just working the tables, and he never sits down. But every once in a while, he has like this little moment where he doesn't know which table he's supposed to go to next. And there's like this total deer in the headlight thing where he just stands there frozen.
Doesn't he have handlers with him?
You know, he has handlers, but even they can't handle him. And
what the hell good are they then?
And then finally he sits there for 3 minutes and then he leaves. He doesn't eat. He doesn't listen to the speech. He's just there and then he leaves. And then all the other constitutional officers feel that they should leave too, because otherwise it looks like they have so little to do that they could actually sit there and listen to a speech by Leslie Stahl. Well, anyway, in terms of this herd immunity, and it is a term, although I'm mostly seeing it invoked in terms of livestock. But no, there's something about mumps. Mumps, and you can have herd immunity in mumps. So anyway, my theory about the Atkins diet is
livestock.
Yeah, well, there's livestock too. Yeah. But my theory is that if enough people are on the Atkins diet in a situation like that, everybody's on the Atkins diet. Because you have the people who are on the Atkins diet, but then there are all the other people who would never eat any of this. Like, they would never eat a dinner roll because nobody at the table is eating dinner rolls. Because everybody's on, like, a lot of people are on the Atkins diet.
Right.
So you can look around the table, and there are some people who are, like, for example, Susan Bicevich, who is real thin, you know, and is not on the Atkins diet. But she's not going to eat a freaking dinner roll while nobody else can. She's running for all public office. She, you know, she people
wait. She'd look like some kind of a glutton
or just a, you know, insensitive jerk who ate a dinner roll at a situation where nobody else could.
In front of other people that perhaps couldn't have that dinner roll.
And you do feel stupid eating a dinner roll in a situation where it's so clearly, it's almost unhip to be eating anything like that. So then you have sort of people who are not on the Atkins diet and they're overweight and they don't care, and that's fine too, but they're not going to eat a dinner roll either. So no one can have a dinner roll. There's like a dinner roll gridlock. So my thought is, first of all, if I were a baker these days, I would kill myself. You know, I mean, nobody's eating the product right now.
You know, I've thought this for a long time.
What?
And every day you seem to hammer this home. Sooner or later, there is a Nobel Prize in your future.
There
is no doubt about it.
Who else is talking about this?
Nobody comes up with the ideas like this.
Atkins, herd immunity.
Right. Nobody comes up with stuff like this.
Thank you for seeing that about me.
Yeah. Nobel Prize.
Yeah.
Where do you have to go to get that?
Oslo.
Oslo,
It's Oslo.
Okay.
Apparently, kick line with King Olaf, too, you know, the other Nobel laureates.
But I would seriously consider... Because nobody is putting the thought into things that you do.
Right.
For a cheesy talk radio show.
I wouldn't call this a cheesy talk radio show. People love this talk radio show. People were asking about you today at the YWCA.
I'm sure they were.
And I want to say...
They're probably lined up.
I know we have to go to break, but I want to say hello to Maureen Entwistle. I think that's her name. Maureen Entwistle.
Why?
I think that's her last name. She came up to me and she said that she's had two celebrity crushes in her life. One was on Paul McCartney when she was 15.
Yeah.
And the other one here in midlife was on me.
Right.
And
haven't I heard this somewhere before? Are you sure you haven't brought this up?
Me and Paul McCartney?
Yeah.
No, this is the first time it's ever come up.
Really?
At least, yes. And I was beside myself. I didn't know. I started to sing Michelle to her.
Oh. You sure it wasn't Paul Horning and you?
No.
Oh.
it's usually Daniel Shore and me. So, I mean, the fact that it was Paul McCartney was
just going to step up.
Yeah, I feel like I'm moving up in the world.
These then shall return.
The lovely woman.
Yeah. So you support her too?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Like right down the line?
Yeah.
What if Blumenthal got in?
I like Blumenthal.
I like Blumenthal, too, but I think I would still support her. If Blumenthal gets in and it turns out he's the 800-pound gorilla, that does us no good because then there's no primary, there's no drama, there's no chaos.
What we want to support is somebody who can actually get in.
Yeah.
And then we can get the governor in fact, that we kiss up to this individual.
I'm not sure that even if we supported Blumenthal and he got in, he would give a rat's patootie about us one way or the other.
That may be true.
And what, it's going to be hard to get him on the show if he's governor? I don't think so. This is somebody who would like grab a walkie-talkie out of a Girl Scout's hand to talk into it.
I started grinding my teeth at an early age.